Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Mer is now quoting the Mishnah. Im Amar Lov, the Kohen, sells the animal to Yisrael, and he says, Chutz min ha-matanot, patur min ha-matanot. He says, I sell you everything, chutz, with the exception of the matanot, then Yisrael is patur min ha-matanot, because the Kohen still owns the matanot. If the Kohen owns the matanot, then they are not chayav, because the Kohen is not chayav in these matanot kuhuna. Gemara says, "Viriminu almanat shehamatanot sheli." Kohen sells the behema to the Israel, and the condition that the matanot are mine. Notain the kol kohen shiritza. He gives it to whichever kohen he likes. And the implications from this brayta that we just quoted are that if he gives it on condition that the matanot remain in his possession, then the Israel can give it to whichever kohen he wants. But what does that mean? If the Israel gives it to whichever kohen he wants, it means that the Israel is chayav in matanot. So why is it that why does it over here that it doesn't work in this brayta? Yet in our Mishnah it says no problem, the kohen can leave it out. So the Gemara says almanat achutz karamit. Exactly what Tzvi is saying. How can you ask? These are two different lashonot. One lashon is a lashon of chutz. One is a lashon of almanat. Chutz shiurahu. Chutz means there's a limit in the sale. I sell everything besides this. That works. Almanat lab shiurahu. Almanat is not a limit in the sale, it's a condition in the sale. Exactly what I think what you were trying to express. The difference between having a limited sale versus having a condition in the sale. When it's a limit in the sale, the kohen retains ownership and he is patur. On the other hand, when he makes it a condition of the sale, the condition fails. Because that's not considered a shiura, that's not considered a leftover in the sale, and the kohen no longer owns it. The kohen doesn't own it. He doesn't have a right, as Rashi says. Lo matzle nuile ha amatanot sheinon shelo. El shekol konim genunu. It's not his matanot that he can make in condition that they're mine. The matanot belong to the shevet as a whole. And the chiyuv of the matanot only happens at shechita. At shechita already, he's not the owner of the animal anymore. It belongs to the Israel now. The Israel is chayav to give the matanot, and he doesn't have to give them to this kohen because you can't make a condition like this. Now, why doesn't the whole sale fall apart? He made a condition in the sale, so the sale should fall apart. So Tosafot makes the suggestion that one possibility is that it's matna amosha kotuv b'torah. That here he is putting a condition in that against the Torah law. The Torah law is that when it comes to matnot, the balim have the right, the tovatana, to give it to whom they like. He can't demand the matnot, he can't take the matnot, they're not his. So that's one way Tosafot says that the tznai falls apart because it's tznai or matna amosha kotuv b'torah. And the other possibility, he says, is Yesh Lamar Demayri Shit Nu Shiva Matanot Shalo Bimlo Yitain Lo Lo Ya Mekach Batel. It makes a condition in the sale that even if the condition doesn't go through, it doesn't ruin the Mekach, doesn't ruin the sale. Could argue that the condition came after the sale. He says that I'll sell them to you, Almanat, and then the conditions afterwards, there, because the Tanai does not precede the Mekach, according to Rabbi Meir, and according to, depending on which Rishonim, that might also be a failure in putting the Tanai in properly, and therefore the Tanai can fall away without being Mevatel the Mekach. So now, Verminu, another question. We have a Braita that says, Almanat Shamatanot Shali, Hamatanot Shalo. So now you said before there's a difference between Almanat and Chutz. Here now I have another Braita that says Almanat works. So now you have two Braitot. One Braita that says Almanat does not work. One says it does work. One saying it's a condition, one saying it's a limit in the sale. This is what they argue about. That's exactly their machloket. Is almanat the same as chutz, and it's a limit in the sale? Or is almanat different than chutz? Chutz is a limit in the sale, but almanat is a condition in the sale. It's a condition in the sale, it doesn't go through, it doesn't work, because it can't be matne on something that's not his. If he retains ownership, then there's no question that he can keep it, or that the Israel is patur. So that would be the question. How does almanat function? Does almanat function like chutz? Or is almanat a different category of tnai rather than a limitation in the sale? Samarlo, he says to the butcher, Machorli b'nei me'ah, sell me the innards of the animal. So when in our Mishnah, when it says he sells him the innards of the animal, there were two options here. If he just sells them at a fixed price, the innards of the animal, then we say he has to give them atnot to the kuna because they're be'en. They're still there. Even though the tabach stole them, the obligation was on the tabach, the butcher, to give them matnot guna, and he stole them by not giving them, and he gave them to you. Nevertheless, since they're be'en, they're extant, you have to give it to the kohen. Now, in terms of deducting from the price, you may not deduct from the price, Because when you bought the innards of the animal, what was your assumption? Your assumption was you're going to get everything besides the matanot kuna. You don't expect to buy the matanot kuna. You only expect to buy what the butcher has the right to. So now when you have to give the remain, this piece to the kohen, you don't deduct from the price because you shouldn't have been paying for it in the first place. Why are you paying for the matanot kuna? They're not for the butcher to sell and you shouldn't be buying the matanot kuna. So here the Mishnah says, you give it to the kohen, you get no deduction. On the other hand, the other option is that he sold it to you by weight. Now if he sold it to you by weight, now you have to give it to the matanot kuna. Again, they're extant, they're right there, you have to give it to the kohen, but now you get to deduct from the price. Because when he weighed for you, he weighed with the matanot kuna in it. And you had to pay by weight, you were paying for the weight of the matanot kuna, so that you clearly get to deduct, you can go back to the butcher and deduct that amount. You shouldn't be paying for the weight of the matanot kuna. So that's a different Mishnah. Now, on that, we have a qualification of Rav. I'm a Rav. Lo shanu, elo sheshoko li'atzmo. This is only true if the buyer weighed it for himself. Aval shakolo tabach, if the tabach himself weighed it, hadim ina tabach. Then you go after the tabach. As Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, how to read this now. Rashi reads that the dinim atabach means hadin af ima tabach. That the din is also with the tabach, the kohen. You can go after whichever one you want. You can go after the friar who has the matnot kuhn on his hand. Or you can go after the butcher because the butcher was the one who was involved with it. He picked it up, he had weighed it, he had been involved in the matnot there, and therefore you can go after them. Whereas, Rav Asi Amar, afilu shakolo tabach, even if the tabach weighed them, hadinimo. Doesn't matter, dinimo, the din is only with the secondary person. That's the way Rashi reads it. Rashi reads it that Rav is suggesting that the din is with either one of them, meaning the din is with either the buyer or the butcher, whereas Rav Asi is saying that the din is only in Masheni, only in the buyer. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot takes issues with this and says that can't be the case. He says, everybody agrees that you can go after the butcher. That's like muskam lakol, that you can go after the butcher. So how can it be Rav Asi here as a din, where you can only go after the buyer, not after the butcher? So therefore, Tosafot reads the Gemara the exact opposite. He says, according to Rav, if you weigh it, aval shakolo atabach adim in atabach, means in atabach alone, and not the buyer. So in the Rav's case, it is, you can go after the buyer if he's the one who weighed it. But if the tabach weighed it, the buyer's out of the picture, and you can only go after the butcher. Along comes Rav Asi, Amar afilu shakolo tabach hadinimo. Even if the tabach weighs it, you can still go after the buyer. That's the way that Tosafot reads it. So Mamash, the exact opposite, the way Rashi and Tosafot read it, it makes a difference in the next line in the Gemara, which is Lema de Rav Chisla kamiflage. Let's say that they're arguing Rav Chisla, Dam Rav Chisla, Gazal, Avalonit Yashua Balim. Person was gozel something, and the Balim did not give up. They were not miyayesh from it. Uvach, erba achalo. Someone else came along and ate it. Another gazlan. A gozel me, a gazlan. Ratza mizegove, ratza mizegove. You can go after either party. According to Rav Chisla, you can either go after the first gazlan, or you can go after the second gazlan, because if the Balim were not nitiya ashu, that means that it's still in possession of Marai Ukamo, still with the original owner. So with the original owner, it's as if the second guy stole directly from the first owner. So you can go after either party over here. That's Rav Chisla's din. Demar itle Rav Chisla. Who has Rav Chisla? According to Rashi, it's Rav who has Rav Chisla, who says you can go after both the butcher and the buyer. According to Tosafot, that's Rav Asi. Rav Asi, who says you can go after both parties, that's who's like Rav Chisla. Umar, lele de Rav Chisla. And one does not hold like Rav Chisla, meaning, according to Rashi, that would be Rav Asi, would be the one who's not like Rav Chisla, who says you can only go after the buyer. Whereas Tosafot says, no, this is Rav. Rav, who says you can only go after the butcher, he is lele de Rav Chisla. The Gemara now rejects this whole Havamina, though. The Kuli Alma, Idluhu the Rav Chisla. Everybody holds a Rav Chisla that he can go after either party. The question here is, can you steal Matnot Kihuna? So now over here, Tosafot comes back around to learn like Rashi, and now they have a consistent Shita, which is, the Mar Savar Nigzalot. Umar Savar Ein Nigzalot. So Rav Savar Nigzalot, that they can be stolen, but Dain Imatabach, I know Af Imatabach, that you go even after the butcher. If they can be stolen, then the butcher took some sort of ownership along the way, and therefore you can go after the butcher and the buyer. For Rav Chisla, that's similar to Rav Chisla, but because it's Nigzalot. Rav Asi Savar Adinim Davke Malokeach, that Rav Asi says that you can only go after the buyer, the Fisha Madnot Ein Nigzalot. They're not Nigzalot. It says it's the opposite of what I wanted to suggest before. Whereas Rashi is consistent. The Rav Rashi says that Rav says you can go after both parties, and Rav Asi says you can only go after the secondary party, the buyer, whereas Tosafot ends up flipping their shitot. Originally, Rav says just the tabach, and Rav Asi says you can go after both, and then now in the Gemara they flip it. So you can understand why Rashi did not like Tosafot's approach. The problem with Rashi's approach raises is that nobody says that you just go after the buyer, you don't go after the original thief, the tabach. So they're in the din of Rav Chisda, and therefore he cannot reconcile Rashi in Rav Asi's opinion that you only go after the buyer. So that doesn't make sense. That's why he flips the opinions originally. But in the latter half, everybody agrees that if there are nigzalot, you can go after both, meaning that's Rav's opinion. And if they're in nigzalot, then you can only go after the party that's holding them now, and that would be the buyer, and that would be Rav Asi. The Gemara is now going to say, "Ve'ika d'matni lo hashmaita b'fnei atzma." Some people make it just a straightforward machloket about matanot nigzalot, and it's Rav Amar matanot kuna nigzalot, that they are nigzal, and therefore you can go after either one, you can have to go to the butcher or the buyer. Vasi Amar matanot kuna en nigzalot, and therefore you can only go after the buyer, which is the opinion that you like, that idea that you favored is Ravasi's opinion, that you can only go after the buyer. Wherever they are, you go after the person who has them now. But we pass on the aloha like Rav, which is that you go after the butcher because of Rava's statement that the butchers are on the hook for the matnot kuna, they're always on the hook, and if they took it, they stole it, and therefore they are considered culpable for them. So now next Mishnah. Ger shnitzgayer, vaitalo para, so he has this ger converted, and he has a para, behema. Nishkatach lo nitzgayer, if he shechs it beforehand, the chiyuv of the matnot kuna devolve at the moment of shchita. So the shchita is then before he converts, patur, because he wasn't a bar chiyuv when the chiyuv came into existence. Mishin nitgayer, if the shchita was done after he was nitgayer, then he's chayav, because the chiyuv of shchita happened once he was already a full-fledged Jew. Safek, we don't know if he was shechted before or after he was a ger. Patur, then he's patur, shemotzim echavero laveraya. The burden of proof is on the Kohen to show that it happened afterwards. Until then, he can hang on to it, he can keep it. Sekiyata rabdimi, amar, Ramele Rav Shim ben Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Rav Lakish challenged Rav Yochanan and said, Tnan, Safek Patur. Our Mishnah says that when it says Safek, you're Patur. Alma, Sveka Lukula. And when you have a Safek in the Matanot Aniyim, you go Lukula. Matanot Kuna, you go Lukula. That's what our Mishnah is saying. Safek Lukula. Viraminu, is that really true? Chore Nemalim. So here we're talking about a case of Leket in the field. The Mishnah in Peah says, if you have holes in the field, that the nimalim go into the ant holes, that they go into ant hills, ant holes. Shvatocha kama. If they are in an area where he has yet to harvest, there are elusha balabait. Anything found in the holes, any kernels that are found in the holes in the ground, they belong to the balabait, because leket is only relevant after ktsira, after it's actually been harvested. In the kama, it's pre-harvest. Pre-harvest, it all belongs to the balabait. Shlachar kotsrim. It's found, they found kernels inside the holes, but after they've already harvested that area. Ha'el yonim la'anim. The top ones belong to the anim, v'tachtonim shel balabait, and the lower ones belong to the balabait. The lower ones belong to the balabait, because we assume they fell there before the ktsira. The upper ones, we assume fell much more recently, after the harvesting, so therefore they belong to the anim, they're leket. Rabbi Meir Amar, kol la'anim. The whole kid and kabudel goes to the anim, shesafek leket leket. We have a safek here. You're determining the upper ones to the aniyim, the lower ones to the balabait. You say that there's a defined or definitive psak that the upper ones belong to the aniyim, the lower ones belong to the balabait. I say it's a safek. And in kol safek, safek leket is leket. If you have a safek in leket, we assume that it is leket. Now, Tosafot points out, even the Rabbanan are going to agree with Rabbi Meir. The Rabbanan just don't agree it's a safek here. But had it been a safek, they would agree that safek leket is leket. Well, if that's the case, that goes against what our Mishnah is saying. Our Mishnah is saying, Safek matnot kuna, enu matanot. You don't have to give them. Here we're saying Safek leket. It's the same setup. You have a Safek of leket. And here you have to give it. You have to give the leket. So what's going on? So Amalei, al tiniktini b'shalon yachid anisho ne'ota. That's a dat yachid. Tatanyo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, omer mishum Rabbi Meir. So it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra that says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Safek leket leket. Safek shechcha shechcha, safek peah peah. And it comes to all the matnot aniyim, it's a safek, you go, the chumra mean that you have to give them, and it belongs to the aniyim. But you see here, the disposition of Rabbi Meir, who says, safek leket leket, is a dat yachid. Only Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says that's what Rabbi Meir says. So, Amar lo, al tashaneh uta elo bishon ben tadal. Shlakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan, I don't care who you say it is the name of. Even Ben Tadal, some so-and-so, some fool out there, you want to say that he quoted Rabbi Meir? He says, Va'atayma kamar. What he's saying makes sense. He's not just saying that this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. He's saying that when it comes to Sveikot in Matnot Aniyim, then the Sofek is the Chumrah. And that makes sense. What he's saying makes sense. And therefore, I don't see the question and answer just because it's V'lashon Yachid. That you're saying, this is a Dat Yachid. It's not necessarily a Dat Yachid over here. Because, Damar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, what does the pasuk say? Ani v'rash etzdiku. What do you mean, ani v'rash etzdiku? My etzdiku. Ilema bedinim, if it's in a court case, that the pauper and the impoverished, you should give favor them. You should give them tzedek. So what does that mean? In court, you should favor them? V'aktiv, v'dalo te'adar birivo. We have restriction in the Torah, not favoring the rich, not favoring the poor. You cannot, you have to be even-handed in judgment, no matter what the circumstances are for the parties involved. Ela tzadik mishelcha v'tein lo. That whenever there's a safek, give of your own money and give it to him. I mean, if you're in a safek of a mamon, you must give up your own money in order to mitzdik him, be mitzdik his position. There's a left with this question, which we still have this issue. Which is that here it makes a lot of sense. We have a drasha that says by matnot aniyim that you have to give even though it's a safek. So why by matnot kuna are we not saying that? So amarobo hocho in our case over here para becheskat petura kaimo. When it comes to the matnot kuna, what's the standing of the para? The para, as long as it's not shechted, is patur. When you shecht it, that's what generates the chiyuv. So the default status of the animal to this point is patur. If you want to make it chayav, you're going to have to show me that the etzem achiyuv happened at a point where it matters. Kama, on the other hand, becheskat chiyuva kaima. When it comes to grains that are standing are chayav in the matnot aniyim. Grains themselves are going to end up always being chayav in the matnot aniyim. They have to end up with ktsira, peya, all these things. They're going to be chayav. Their default status is to be chayav in the matnot aniyim. Chiyuv is already there. Chiyuv matnot aniyim already exists. As long as it's a Jew's produce, he's got to give the matnot aniyim. And therefore, in order to be patur, he's got to bring the raya. So what Rava is doing is showing us where is the obligation devolve. He says, by the case of matnot kuna, by the para, the default status is patur. To make him chayav, the person who wants to make him chayav has got to bring the proof. The burden of proof is the one who's being mechayiv. On the other hand, by the matnot aniyim, the kama is becheskat kiyuv, the matnot aniyim. You're becheskat that you have to give the matnot aniyim. Therefore, if you wanted the burden of proof is on the one who wants to make himself patur here. You have to show that these belong to you and not to the aniyim. The default status is that they belong to the aniyim. And so if you want to take them, you've got to bring the burden of proof is on you to show otherwise. So therefore we're going to go safek lechumra by matnot aniyim and safek lekula by matnot kuna. So Malay Abaye says to Rav, is that really true? Vare Isa. Case of Isa. Isa is dough. That's when the chiyuv chala devolves upon the dough. Is when it's made into dough. The grain is not chayav in chala. Chala only is chayav once you put the water in and you medalgel and you knead it. So Isa. Nasit achlo nitgayer. If he makes a ball of dough, he makes it into dough before he converted patur. Because the chiyuv happened while he was still not a Jew. If it was mishin itgayer, if it was already became a ger chayav, then he's chayav because the obligation happened when you're already a Jew. Safek. Here you have a safek chayav. Wait a minute. Over here, the default status is bipatur. Because you're not chayav until you're mitgalgel, until you actually knead the dough. So this should be the equivalent of the para. The para is not chayav until you do the shchita. So the default is patur until this action is taken. So also over here, by the isa, the default should be patur until the action is taken. The burden of proof should be on the kohen. How come here you're saying safek chayav? This should be the equivalent case. This should be exactly like the case of para. So Amalei, Rava responds to him, safek isura lechumra, safek mamona lekula. Dealing with totally different issues. One is a safek of mamon, one is a safek isura. Safek isura is by chalo. If you're not mafrish chalo, the dough is now tevel lechalo, and that involves a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim. Dealing with isur over here. Safek isur, we go to chumra and we say take off the chala. When you're talking about mamon by the matnot kuna of the Zerua L'Chaim Nekeba, we learned in yesterday's daf that when it comes to, even though we had the statement of Rav Chista that if the matnot are not removed, that there's still an that there's a Isur Tevel associated with them. The Gemara said, like the Hilchato Kavatei, Halacha is not like that din. Although, even though Tosfot said that, despite the fact there's no Isur Tevel, there's still an Isur involved, this Gemara is very difficult for that. Damar of Chista, Chayin Tani Rabbi Chiyah, Shmona Sveikot Nemru Beger. There are 8 Sveikot that are discussed by a Ger, Arba L'Chiyuv, Arba L'Ptor. 4 of them we go to Chumrah as a Chiyuv, and 4 of them we go to Kula. Karban Ishto, if his wife gives birth, and we're uncertain as to when his wife gave birth, before the Geirut or after the Geirut, we force her to bring the Korban Leida. Because we're involved now with a Chiyuv Karet. In order for this woman to consume Kodashim going forward, or to go into the Mikdash, she has to be Tahor. If she is Chayav or Chayavet in a Korban Leida, then she can't go into the Mikdash, she can't eat Kodashim. And if she does go ahead and eat them, she's Chayav Karet. So because of that Safek, we say, bring the Korban Leida Misafek. V'chala, that's the case that we just quoted, the case of Safek Chala, there we force you because of the Safek Mita B'dei Shemayim you're involved with. B'chor V'behemat Me'ah, which is the Peter Chamor. By a Peter Chamor, if you do not redeem it, it's Asur B'ana'ah. You have to do a rifat, the Peter Chamor, and it's Asur B'ana'ah to use it. So here you have an Isur Hana'ah, so we're not going to let you use it if you could get rid of that Isur by simply redeeming it onto a set. So we tell you, redeem it onto a set to get rid of that Isur, the Isur Hana'ah. U'b'chor Be'imah Torah, comes to B'chor Be'imah Torah, there the obligation is to give it to the Kohen, and it's Kodshim. If it doesn't have a mum in it, B'chor Be'imah Torah, without a mum, has to end up on the Mizbeach. It's Kodashim, so it's a safek again of Isur, Kodshim B'chutz, if we don't give it to the Kohen. So in all of these cases, say the Chiyuv. We say to him, do it to avoid the Isur, to get rid of the problems of Karet, Mita Dev Shemayim. No, because there it's an Isura, but not an Isura that involves the Mita B'dei Shemayim. It's still Muta B'zarim. Like a Shechem Peah, that's the difference. Here we're talking about Mita B'dei Shemayim, Karet, you're dealing with very serious Onshim. Reshida Geis, V'amatanot, which are beginning of tomorrow's Perak Reshida Geis, we're in the Perak now, Matanot, Kuna, Zerod, Chaim, Keba. So over here, they are only an Isur of stealing. Meaning there's an Isur Gezel over here. There's no Isur Mita B'dei Shemayim. They don't create Tevel in the item. So therefore, if there's a Safek, we say keep them. He goes the Ptur. U'pidyon HaBen. Comes the Pidyon HaBen. Again, the child is not a Sur. You know, redeem the Bechor. Okay, so you're Mevatel the Asay of Pidyon Bechor. But it doesn't leave the Bechor in any status that is problematic. And U'pidyon Peter Chamor. Well, we just saw Pidyon Peter Chamor. This is the difference. If it's the Chamor itself, then we say, you're Chayav to redeem it onto the Seh. Once he's already redeemed it onto the Seh, then the Chamor is Mutar B'ana'ah. The Seh becomes a monetary obligation to the Kohen. The Seh belongs to the Kohen. Over there, we say the Pidyon Peter Chamor, the Seh, that you redeem the Peter Chamor, and there you don't have to give it to the Kohen. Because then it becomes a Safek Mamon, similar to Matanot, Zro L'Chaim Ekeba, similar to Reshit HaGeiz, where it's the property of the Kohen, but there's no Isur involved. If that's the case, we say to the Kohen, bring a Rayuah that you owed the money. Otherwise, you can keep the money, because it's simply a question of monetary issues. Over there, we say, Safek the Kula. So this is the way the discussion went, according to Rav Dimi. According to Rav Dimi, Reish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan gives an answer, that's a Dat Yachid. Reish Lakish rejects it and says, I don't care if it's a Dat Yachid. It makes sense. We have a Pasuk that supports that. And when it comes to Matnot Taniyim, we have a specific Pasuk that says that you have to give of your own when there's a safek in the Matnot Taniyim. Whereas when it comes to the Matnot Kihuna, then we say, you safek l'kula. Rabba came along and differentiated and says, well, it really depends on the status. If the default status is to be chayav, then the safek is the chumrah, because the obligation is the one who's trying to be poter. If the default status is to be patur, like the case of Isa, like the case of the para, where the default status is to be patur, therefore, if you come and it's a monetary issue, we say, safek tekula. But Isa and Chala introduce a new issue, which is Isura. And in Isura, we're always going to go to Chumrah. And that's what we proved from this Braita that we just quoted from Rabbi Chiya, which is that we always go to Chumrah when it deals with the Chiyuv Karet, it deals with Chiyuv Mita Dibishemayim, anything with the Isura, we're going to go to Chumrah. When it's monetary matters, we're going to go to the Kula when it comes to the Matnot Kuna. So therefore, it will come up with the Chala will go to Chumrah, because it's a Safek Isura. But the matnot, like the Zerah L'Chaim L'Keba, which is a fake of a mamon, there we're going to go the kula. Exception to the rule, but again, the matnot and iim, where we'll go safek the chumrah, either because the pasuk demands it, or because the rabbi says, because the default status is to be chayav. The matnot and iim, you are chayav in, And the one who's trying to stop that is the Balim. So the Balim are the ones who are going to have to bring the proof. So now we'll have a different Mesorah about this. Kiato Ravin Amar. So when Ravin came, he said the story went like this. We have this all the time. Ravin and Rav Dimi are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they're reporting the story of what's transpiring there. Here we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. So now we have here Ravin coming in reporting a story like this. Amar Kama Akama Ramile. He didn't ask Reish Lakish this question, but rather, he had a different braita. That's what Rashi says. Mandita Achlita Ashkach, the Rabbi Meir, the Patar Bekama Shoger. Found a different braita that says, Rabbi Meir says that when it comes to Kama Shoger, Safek is the Kula. And then he was Ramya on this braita there, or the mission that we brought that says Safek Leket Leket. And the answer that he gave was, in Agra and Ishon Elta, that the mission is a Dat Yochid in Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir Shita really is Safek Aniim is the Kula. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan answered Reish Lakish. So we don't have this Matnita Achrita, as Rashi says, Matnita Achrita we don't have. But whatever this other Breita was, that was what Reish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan with. We don't have that Breita. Now Rabbi Yochanan reconciled between that Mishnah and this Breita that Reish Lakish brought by saying that Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah of Safek Leket Leket is a Dat Yachid. That's the name of Ben Agro. Now, Levi Zora B'Kisher, he planted in this location, and there were no aniyim to come and take the leket. Atal came to Rav Sheshet, came to Rav Sheshet and said, what should I do with this? I have all this stuff out in the field. There are no aniyim to come and collect it. What should I do with it? So he says, Amar lei, la'ani, v'lager, tazov utam. The chiyuv in the pasuk is that you leave it for the aniyim. V'lo l'orvim, v'la talafim. Don't leave it for the ravens and the bats. I mean that you're under no obligation to leave the food out there so the animals eat it. You only have to leave it out there so the aniyim come. If no aniyim come, you can take it. You collect it. It's yours. Meitave. Ein mevi'in truma lo migor in the ear velo mimidbar liyishuv. Says you don't bring truma. If you're out in the goren and you have truma there, you're not obligated to bring it to this city to give it to the kohen. Velo mimidbar liyishuv. If you're out in the desert, you're out in the isolated places, you don't have to bring it into the settled areas in order for the Kohen to get it. V'im ein sham Kohen, if there is no Kohen over there, socher para umivya mipnei hefsed. Then you have to rent a para, bring it in to the city, mipnei hefsed shuma, because otherwise the shuma is going to get ruined, it's going to get lost, it's going to stick around. Now, the Kohen will have to pay for this para. He'll have to cough up for the para. But what we see here is, you have an obligation to take care of the shuma and ensure it gets to a Kohen. So why is it by the Matnot Aniyim we say, well, if there's no one either, just take it and keep it. And by Truma we say, if there's no Kohen there, you gotta get it to the Kohen, you gotta bring it over there. Right? Says, Shiny Truma de Tavlo. Truma is different than the Matnot Aniyim because by Truma, if you don't separate out the Truma, it's Tevel. Whereas, when it comes to Matnot Aniyim, but no, they don't leave the produce as being tevel if they're not being mufrash. Because of this truma is mitavel, then it's not enough that you don't separate it out. If you say very matanot, wait, do you have the matanot of the kohen, which is Zra, the chaim, the keba, that are not, don't make something into tevel. Again, this goes against this Tosfot who suggests that there's an issue. He says up here, you can see in the Tosfot over here, he says, that over here, both in this Gemara, what we're saying right now, as well as the case of the Breita that was brought by Reb Chiyo, that the Ger doesn't have to give in the Matnot. If you believe the Matnot are mitavel, that they make it into Tavel, then you should have to give it. The Ger should have to give it also over here. This goes against that opinion. So the Gemara says, Ari Matnot lo Tavle, Bitan, you have a Breita, Makom Shna Gulim lo Gbagalim, lo yafshit et azroa. Lafshit et arosh, lo yafshit et alechi. V'imein sham kohen, malin oto b'damim, ochlan mipnei hefsed kohen. So here we go. We have a braita that says about the matnot. The zroa l'chaim akiva. Makom shenulim blog. I'll read it like Rashi first. In places where they have the minog, to boil the leg with the skin on it. They used to eat it together. They used to eat the skin and the flesh together. They used to boil it for a long time to soften the skin. And they eat them together. In a place they do that, Bagalim in the calves. Calves have softer skin. So they would boil the skin and the leg and eat it together. Lo yifshit to the zroah. If you're going to give the zroah to the kohen as his matnat kohenah, even though technically you do not have to give the skin, the or with it, But since in this place the or goes with the zroah and they eat it that way, you have to give the or to the kohen as well. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tafshita derosh. Even though normally you would take off, you skin the head, and the skin is kept by the individual, lo yafshita derlechi. You don't take the skin off the lechi, but the kohen gets the cheeks along with the skin that's on it. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand,
the Rif believes that the default status is that the skin belongs to the kohen. And if you're moleg the zroah, then you ruin the skin that's on top of the zroah. Since the skin belongs to the kohen, you cannot cook the zroah with the skin on it because you're stealing from the kohen. The zroah, including the skin, belongs to him, and you have to give him to him in that state. So the machloket is about what is the default status. According to Rashi, the default status is the skin does not belong to the kohen. But if the minhag makom is to eat the meat with the skin, you have to give the meat with the skin. Whereas the Rif believes the default status is that the skin belongs to the kohen. And in a place where the minhag is to cook the meat with the skin and the skin gets ruined, you don't have a right to do that because the skin does belong to the kohen.
And she gives the zroah with the skin on it. In places where, lafshida the rosh, where the minhag is to take the skin off the rosh, nevertheless you give the lechi with the skins.
But the Rif
reads it is that no matter what, the skin goes along with the matnot kuna. Rashi says it has to do with this minhag makom of whether the skin is left on by the zroah. But the problem we have is v'ein sham kohen. There's no kohen there. Malino to b'damim. You redeem it with money. Ve'ochlan mipnei hefsed kohen, and you eat it because of the hefsed kohen. Over here, there's no tevel, and we're still saying that he has to get it to the kohen. He has to redeem it. He eats it, and then he has to give the money to the kohen. Why does he have to preserve the matnot kiuna over here? If the kohen's no kohen around, he should go to eat it himself. So Mar says, shiny matnot kiuna. When it comes to matnot kiuna, netina ketiv bei. That we already had, the pasuk by the matnot kuna zroah l'chayim nekevah says, v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohenim meit ha-am eit zuchay ha-zevach m'shorim seh v'natan la-kohen zroah l'chayim nekevah. The obligation on you is to give it to him. You got to find the kohen and give it to him. So that's by the matnot kuna. The Gemara says, ha-shadot yidohochi, if you're ready at that answer, truma nami. When it comes to truma, it also says netina by the truma that you have to give. V'natan. So if the natan is used by the truma, there's an obligation on you to ensure that the truma gets to the kohen. So that's not true by the matnot aniim. By the matnot aniim, what does it say? Tazov, leave it there. Of tevel, yeah, you don't have to get the reason of tevel anymore. You can use the reason of the tina now can apply because you see that tevel is not the determining factor because matnot of Israel chayim kibar also you have to give it to the kohen. If the answer is netina, then netina also applies by truma. But by matnot aniim, you have tazov. But the case is by matnot aniim. If you remember, there's a pasuk in Emor. And as a pasuk in Kiddushim, identical pasukim that say, "Ubekutzrichem ekzira zechem lo techalei patzchadcha lekzor v'lek etzkar lo tzaleit for karmachalo to alel peret karmachalo tzaleit ani lager tazov otam." And also over there, ani lager tazov otam. As Rashi points out, when it comes to every one of the matnot aniim, it's repeated twice because you have that same pasuk that I just read to you. You have the pasuk in Emor, pasuk in Kiddushim. And the psukim in Dvarim repeat also what's found in Vayikra, as well as within them themselves, you have repetition of acharecha, acharecha twice, which is shechecha. Every one of the matnot aniim is repeated twice. Now, why is that? So the hava mina now is, maybe tazov, tazov means, first you have to leave it, number two is tazov, you have to make sure it gets to the ani. So the answer of the Gemara is no. The answer of why is it written, look at the Tanya for this brayta, which is, a mafkir at karmo, that a person who is mafkir, he disowns his kerem, Lushachar Yishkim in the morning wakes up and he says, ah, boy, look at this hefker field out there. Ubatzro. And he goes in and he harvests this hefker field that he has out there, this hefker vineyard out there. Chayav, peret, ubalolot, ubishikha, upeya. It's chayav in all the matnotanim, upatur mina masrot. But he doesn't have to give maiserani. Because by the matnotanim, tazov yitera. There's an extra tazov that is written, or that is written by all the matnotanim, comes to tell us in this circumstance, where he was mafkirit, he was disowned it, and then went ahead and harvested it, he's still going to be chayav in these matnotanim. Tazov yiratera comes even if you were mafkirit, and then you went and worked it, you have to give away the matnotanim. By maserani, that's not true, because we don't have a tazov yiratera there. So in terms of maserani, he's patur. Just like any hefker is patur, me, matnot kuna, matnot libya, maserani, he's patur from all those. He should be patur from the matnotanim as well. Because when it comes to hefker, there's no chiyuv matnot aniim, because in all those cases it says kitzircha, karmecha, zeitecha, has to be yours. The exception to that case is this case, where you're mafkirit, and then you act like balim afterwards. If you're mafkirit and then act like balim, we're going to say to you, you got to pay up because of this tazov yitera. And that's why you have the double lashon of tazov. So what will come out in the end is, by matnot aniyim, if there's no ani around, you should take it. It shouldn't go to waste. It shouldn't be left out there for the animals to eat. You can take it. That's not true by matnot kuna. By matnot kuna, like chuma and Israel Chaim HaKabah, which says nitina, then the obligation is on you to ensure that it gets to the Kohen. The obligation is on you to ensure it gets to the Kohen. Then, it doesn't matter if there's a Kohen here or not a Kohen here, you gotta do something to make sure that it gets to the Kohen. How sako didinare? There was a sack full of gold coins that showed up in the Beit Midrash. It seems that, after the Beit Midrash, it seems like that somebody was sending it for their Meiser Oni. They were sending it in to the Beit Midrash where there was a donation. Kodim Rabbi Ami v'zochaben. Rabbi Ami went in and he took them. They came to the Beit Midrash. They were there for the yeshiva. Rabbi Ami said he took them for himself because he was the first one there. Got up early. It was Bahab. Got up early. He was there first. And he took the coins that were there. So now, how did he do that? It belongs to the entire yeshiva. It belongs to the aniyim. How could Rav Ami come and take it for himself? The balim give it, and then you don't take it. You shouldn't be the one taking this. Why is he the one taking this when there's an obligation in Natan that the balim have to give it or designate who it goes to? The balim designated it to the yeshiva, not to Rabbi Ami. So how did Rabbi Ami pick it up himself? So different answers. First answer is Rabbi Ami nami l'aniyim zachabahem. He didn't take it for his own benefit. He took it on behalf of the Aniyim. He was the Gabbai Tztaka. So he took it for the Aniyim. Yes, it belonged to the Aniyim as a class. And he, on behalf of that class, took possession of it so that it would go to the Aniyim. That's one answer. The other possibility is, V'ibaydema Adam Choshub Shaini. And a person, the Rosh Yeshiva, like Rabbi Ami, is different. Why? Tatanya Bakoin HaGadol Me'achav. When it says HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, what does it mean that he's bigger than his brothers? He has to be bigger than his brothers in beauty, in wisdom, and in wealth. How do we know that if he doesn't have that wealth, that his brethren, the Kohanim, have to make him wealthy? That his brothers are responsible to make him big. So here, the Gemara now applies this to any position of power, position of leadership, position of power like Rabbi Ami, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, he should be treated like the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, there's an obligation on the entire body of the Yeshiva, the Talmidim, to make Rabbi Ami the big gun and to make him the richest. And therefore, Rabbi Ami was justified in taking it because they all were obligated, in a sense, to give this money to Rabbi Ami and to ensure that Rabbi Ami was the wealthiest or the biggest of them all. And now Mishnah, the last Mishnah in our Perek. Ezuhu Hazroa. So this is how we finally get down. We know about the Matnot Kuna, Hazroa L'chaim Kiba. What is the Zroa? So the answer is, Min HaPerek Shel Arkova Ad Akaf Shel Yad. That it's the point that goes from the knee of the animal all the way up to the, what we call the equivalent of the shoulder of the animal. So it actually involves the animal's leg. We've done this many times. I'm going to go with Shita Drashi here, just for ease, and not deal with the whole issue of Arkova. The animal has three bones in its legs. It has from the hoof up to the knee up to the mid-knee, and then from that mid-knee up to the shoulder blade. So the upper two bones are what we're talking about here. From the Arkova, the knee bone, up to the shoulder. So you can see it's the upper two bones of the leg that you have over here. And that is not only what you give for the Zroa when it comes to the Matnot Kuna, V'hu Shel Nazir. The Zroa B'Sheila that is given by the Nazir, that's also that same location. It's from the knee up to the shoulder blade. Ukenegdo. And similarly, Beregel Shok. When it comes to the Shoka Yamin that comes off of the Shlamim, that'll be the same in the hind leg. Just like in the foreleg, it's the upper two bones. In the hind leg, it'll be the same thing. It'll go from the knee up to the hip bone. So it'll be the upper two bones. It's the, what's called the shok, will be from the knee all the way up to that area that's the hip bone, which is the upper two bones of the three large bones of the leg. So therefore, you have now an equivalence between the fore and hind legs in terms of what's called the zroa, what's called the shok. And everybody, the Tanakhama here, believes that that is the upper two bones. We do mer, shok min aperek shel akova ad sovich shel regel. He disagrees. He says that's not the case. He says there's only one bone involved here. One bone is the middle bone, from the knee to the mid-knee. I mean, that's the secondary break in the bones, which is that it's the bone that sits between the middle bone. The bone that sits between the knee and the other joint, that's before the hip joint, the one below the hip joint. And that'll be the bone that is called the zroa, and that's what's called the shok. I mean, it'll be equivalent to both of them, but it'll only be that one bone, that middle section of the leg, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vezu lechi. What is the lechi? Min haperek shel alechi. You do it from the joint of the jaw. The joint of the jaw is where the mandible, right, the jawbone meets. The upper and lower jawbone meet. But tzdayim. On the sides here, basically where you pay us go to, and that point over there, there's the joint of the jawbone. That bone below, you have a bone that sticks out. Right below it is the joint, which is the TMJ, your TMJ joint. That is the connection between the upper and lower jaw. From that point, down to the pika. From there until the pika, shel gargaret. Pika of the trachea. Machloket Rashi and Tosfot, what the pika shel gargaret is. According to Rashi, it's the shipuya kova. It's the, what you call the Adam's apple. It's the peak of the Adam's apple. That's what it is according to Rashi. And it's interesting, they use the word pika. Pika shel gargaret, which would be the peak of the Adam's apple, the point of the Adam's apple. That's what Rashi says. Tosfot, on the other hand, says pika shel gargaret is hitabata gdola. It's the first of the tracheal rings. Shasuya agula kepika. Because it's circular like a peak, which is below where Rashi says. That's it. You cut from the joint of the mandible, the joint of the lower jaw, all the way down to either the Adam's apple or the first tracheal ring. And that's what's classified as the lechi. That will include the tongue and the whole lower jaw. That's what's called the lechi. Tutarabanan. Hazroa. Ha with the hair yidia. Zizroa yamin. That's the right leg. Atamir says zero yomin, no el zroa small. Maybe it means the left. Tamalora, ha zroa, with the hey idea. My Talmudo, what's the limud here? Kadamarobo, ha yerech. When it says ha yerech, it's ha yerech ha mi yumenet shibi yerech. The more dexterous of the legs. So it's over here. It's the more dexterous right one, which is the right is always considered to be the stronger, the more useful leg, and therefore hazroa, if I use the hey idea, it means the right one. Now Rava's statement is really made by Gidon Asher. Tells us about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. How does he know that the Gidon Asher only applies to the right leg? Rabbi Yehuda says it applies to one leg, and Rava says that it mistavrits the right leg because of this. Hayerech, which is hayerech, hamyuman, it should be yerech. That would make sense. Alchanami, hazroa, hamyuman, should be zarad, and more dexterous of them, which is the right side. So then if that's the case, we say in the pasuk that brings about the matnot kuna, it says they have to give hazroa v'halachayim v'hakeva. So now you told me what the hey idea means by hazroa. What is halachayim and hakeva? What's the hey idea mean over there? So that's what Gemara says now. V'halachayim l'mayato. Mavi tzemer shibarosh kvasim usear shibzakan tiyashim. The hey idea of the lechayim here is to include that the tzemer, the wool that is on the head of the sheep, and the sear, the hair that is on the beard of the goats. That's included. That comes along with the package of the lechi. Ve'akeba with the hea yidia, lamayati. Ve'chelev shal gabe akeba, ve'chelev shibtoch akeba. This includes the fats that are around the stomach and the fats that line the stomach. Damar of Yoshua. Yeshua says that the practice of the Kohanim, or Yeshua ben Levi is probably the more likely girsa here. Kohanim na gubo ayin yafev na du labali. Even though the Kohanim were entitled to the fats that were on the stomach, as well as that lined the stomach. Nevertheless, they were generous and they left it with the balim. They only took the stomach. Time of the nagu. That's the minhag. Halo nagu. Tidehu. Had he not, had not been the minhag of the kohanim, it would have belonged to the kohanim. So you see that that's the case. Dorshei chamurot. So now Rashi says dorshei chamurot means mikraot astumim. Does it a deresh, unclear, ambiguous psukim? That's what Rashi says. Tosbot says dorshei chamurot perish baruch b'shem rab sajigon kemina mase. These are Doshei Chamorot. People are Doresh Ma'asim. Hayumrim. They used to say, Hazroa. Why is it that the Zroa is given? Why is that one of the Matnot Kuna? Keneged Ayad. Keneged Ayad. V'chenu Omer. V'yikach Romach Biado. What they're suggesting is that the Matnot Kuna of Zroa L'chaim and Keba is a gift from Hashem because of the deed of Pinchas. Pinchas, who stood up and took revenge on behalf of Hashem, Hashem gave him Brito Shalom, but that Brito Shalom included with it a generous gift that the Matnot Kuna would also include the Zroa, the Chaim, and the Keba. How do you know that you get the Zroa? Zroa is the Yad, because it says, Ve'ikach Romach Biyado. He took the spear in his hand. Ve'lechaim, Peneget Tfilah. The Lechaim that you get is because he davened. Because it says in Tehillim, Chen Omer, Ve'yamod Pinchas, Ve'yifalel. Because stood up and he davened that Hashem should help him out. Keba, why do you get the stomach? Kimashma, literally the stomach, Ve'chen Omer. That when he pierced them, when he went through Zimri ben Salu and Kazim Batsur, he went straight through their stomachs. So as a reward for that, he got the Keba. But that will also solve our problem as to which Zroa you give. How do you know which Zroa you give? Well, Pinchas went with his spear. If he went with the spear, and it was Veikach Romer Piyado, which hand was he doing it with? Of course it was his right hand. Of course he was a righty. So therefore, also over here, the Zroa would also be on the right side. So these Dorshei Chumrot, who go both give a reason for why we give the Zroa L'chaim and the Keba, also answers our question as to which one would it be. It'll be the right one, because it connected Pinchas, who was battling with his right hand, of course. V'tanei Maiti Lo Mahocha. We have another brayta that brings it from here. Shoka Yamin. Elyonel Shoka Yamin. I only know about the Shoka Yamin. It says by the Korban Shlamim, that Shoka Yamin to new Truma L'Kohen Mizibchei Shalmechem. You'll give the Shoka Yamin to the Kohanim as a Truma. The Gemara Darshan, Shoka Yamin means literally the Shoka Yamin. Zroa Mugdashim. How do I know that the Zroa of the Mugdashim go? That's by the El Nazir. The El Nazir, the Zroa B'Shila goes to the Kohen. How do I know that also goes to the Kohen? Tamalomar Truma. That the pasuk is Shoki Amin new Truma. Truma comes to include the Zroa. Zroa Chulin Minayin. How do I know that also the Zroa of Chulin is included in that gifts to the Kohanim? It says that Shoki Amin Titnu Truma. Titnu means even give the Zroa of Chulin. But you see in that pasuk it says Shoka Yamin, the right Shok. So then when I include the Titnu and Truma of the Zroa of Kodshim and the Zroa of Chulin, I'm going to include the right side because it's in context of Shoka Yamin. And therefore, that will know from the pasuk that it's the right one that is given. Ezu lechi, which one is considered the jaw? I mean, a perek shel lechi ad a pika shel gogeret, from the jaw joint down to again pika shel gogeret. According to Rashi, is the peak of the Adam's apple versus Tosu, which is the top ring of the trachea. Vatanya notla ubeit shchita ima. That you take it and you cut all the way down to the beit shchita. The beit shchita is further down because the Shipui Yaakov was already pasul in terms of Makom Shechita, as well as possibly the Tevat HaGdola. Veda Shechita Ima Lo Kasha, Arabonon, V'Arabi Chanina Ben Tiganos. That depends who's the opinion over here. Titania, Mugremet, Psula. That if you go out of the area of the Shechita, it's Psula. Heed Rabbi Chanina Ben Tiganos, Am Mugremet, Sheik Shira. He says that the Mugremet of the Chachamim is really Kasher. Because what the Chachamim call Mugremet, Rabbi Chanina Ben Tiganos says it's still good Kasher the Shechita. So he holds the area of Shechita is higher up. So the bright will be Rabbi Chanina ben Tiganos, who says Beit HaShkita goes up that high, because he thinks the Mugremet, even above the Beit HaBliyah, even above the area where you swallow, that area there is Kosher L'Shkita, and that will reconcile with our Mishnah, whereas the Mishnah is giving a definition according to the Chachamim, because even the Chachamim agreed that that's where the end of the Lechi is, they just don't call that a Beit HaShkita. Bright is a Liba there, Rabbi Chanina ben Tiganos. The Mishnah is using a definition that can reconcile either with the Chachamim or Rabbi Chanina ben Tiganos. Beit HaShechita, Rabbi Chanina ben Tiganos would match in our Mishnah, that's the Pika Shel Gargaret. Yibayit Eima, Hava Ha Rabbanon, that both of them are Rabbanon, Ma Ima, Ima De Behema. And when we say Ima De Shechita, doesn't mean that that's because it goes to the Kohen. Ima goes to the Shechita. Beit HaShechita, Ima goes with the animal. Beit HaShechita is included with the animal that goes to the Baalim. Not the piece that goes to the Kohen, but rather describing the piece that doesn't go to the Kohen. Therefore, they're giving different measurements. Beit HaShechita goes with the Baalim. Gargaret, Pika Shel Gargaret, that's what goes to the Kohen, and therefore there's no steer between them, because each one's defining a different party's rights here. The Bright is defining the rights of the Baalim, and the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is defining the rights of the Kohen. Okay, we'll stop over here.